This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. My co-host, Christopher John O'Shea, with me.
Andrew, great to be with you.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, but because, not just because we're doing another open show, but because of your special guest.
Our special guest is here. And yes, and Chris said, we are doing an open show tonight. We're going to do more open shows because, you know, we're getting a lot of questions from our listeners. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680. And now let's reveal the mystery guest. The mystery guest is my number five grandchild, Ivan Daniel Wagner. Ivan Daniel, how are you tonight?
Good.
Yeah? You're going to talk to us about money management, personal finances, and all that kind of good stuff?
Well, I'm just 8 years old. How am I supposed to know about all
you're
that
stuff? You're almost nine. You're almost going to be nine, right?
When's your birthday?
Yeah.
When's your birthday?
March 18th.
March 18th.
Okay. And what are we going to do when you turn 10?
We're going to go on a special vacation, I think.
Just you and me, right? And we've done that with all the grandchildren when they hit 10, right? Have you decided where you're going to go yet?
Well, I think Florida.
Florida. What are we going to do in Florida? Are we going to fish like we do with Guy and Nikki?
Or I kind of want to go, like, swimming, maybe some fishing.
Yeah? You mean like snorkeling and stuff like that? Or you mean like Disney World and water parks and things of that sort?
I think he wants his grandfather to get scuba diving trained, and then take him scuba diving.
No, that ain't happening. I'll bring Uncle Austin to do that with him if he wants.
There you go.
But anyway, we're here on an open show, and we're going to answer your questions. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, usually the early part of the show is usually the best time to call in because you get the most time for your question to be answered. You know, and let's deal with a question we had last week about the Ricky Trust and so forth. It's funny. She calls in, first time ever we've had anybody ask us about the Ricky Trust.
Sure.
And we had a client come in just recently, had a Ricky Trust, and he brought the trust document. And I'm reading this thing, and I'm thinking to myself, I now really don't understand what is he trying to sell and promote here. This is ridiculous. And you know, the funny thing is, too, is that he's a big advocate of low fees.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, when you bring a variable annuity and then throw a trust on top of it, you're bringing fees in upon fees upon fees. And, you know, the sad thing in this client situation that, you know, that came into the office is that his mother passed away who had started this Ricky Trust. And, you know, because it's in a variable annuity now, he's still going to have to pay taxes on it someday. Whereas, you know, if she would have just bought that in her own name and held it for him as a in an account that she intends to turn over to him someday in the future, it would have been 100% tax-free if she would have done that for him. Or she could have even put it into a trust. She could have put some kind of mutual fund or ETF into a trust, and any capital gain that she would have made would have been tax-free when she passed away going to her son. But instead, it's in a variable annuity. When you're in a variable annuity, it's all tax-deferred ordinary income, and there is no step-up in basis when somebody passes away. I just have a hard time understanding, other than that it's a marketing concept that you can sell to people. I just don't understand the benefit. And nothing irritates me more than when people sell marketing concepts to people, you know?
Sure. And that's RIC. E. That's how they call it. That's how they spell it. That's how it's recognized, the Rick E. Trust. Sure, well, we've always said we like to know what we're buying, like to know what it is. We want it to do what we intended to do.
Yeah, and you know, and he's not going to be able to get anything out of this trust until he's 59 and a half years old. That's part of his supposed wonder idea behind this. You know, but I'm telling you, I've struggled to figure out, well, what's the benefit? You know, if it was a really cool thing, we would have said, you know, hey, we can duplicate this. This is great, you know. But I see no benefit to try to, other than if you just want to market people, you know, and so forth. And we're not into that. That's not our style. You know, ours is about what is best for the client. You know, what is going to be a great idea for the client.
Sure, things come up. You know, new things come on the scene, and we implement them when they're good.
Yeah. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, you can ask anything about estate planning or IRAs or investments or insurances, you know, auto, home, life, long-term care, disability, you know, anything of that sort. You can call and ask your question if you want to, 410-922-668. People that call in early get the most amount of time. Sometimes what happens is, you know, people don't start calling in until later in the show. When that happens, all of a sudden, you know, you got to back up and you got to rip through the questions, you know, and that's not a good thing. You know, another thing that we can talk about is, you know, Tom in our office was mentioning that this new President Obama's new saving for retirement vehicle is now pretty much running, up and running. They call it MYRA, or MYRA. So it's sort of a play on IRA, but it's MYRA, you know. I understand that less than I understand the Ricky Trust, you know. I mean,
you understand what it's trying to do, but you just don't know the purpose of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can only put a total of lifetime total of $15,000 into this.
Right.
It's strictly a guaranteed fixed interest rate investment with the United States government, and it's paying about 2% based on the way they calculate the interest rate. And, you know, it works more like a Roth IRA in the sense that it's an after-tax investment vehicle that grows tax-free, and there's no other benefit. So, I mean, it's like, well, why couldn't I just set up my own Roth IRA? Where I can make any investment I want to? I think you made the best argument for it, is that this sort of creates a simple concept for somebody who just wants to start out. They don't want to think. They just want a guaranteed fixed interest rate. They want no fees. They don't want any commissions.
They don't have contacts who are in the business. They don't want
to
talk to bankers.
They just log on and do it. MYRA, you know, but it's a waste of time and money, in my opinion, especially for the government to be involved in it, for people to set up accounts for $15,000 total maximum during their lifetime. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. You know, we got bigger problems in this country that, you know, to be wasting any time of anybody in the government to set up MYRAs. MYRA is absolutely ridiculous.
I don't know the subject. Is it too soon for us to? It's still early on in the process. Maybe we'll wait till 2016, till when the candidates start winnowed out a little bit. We'll start talking about their fiscal approach.
You know what? We'll do that, but I just went. I didn't watch my time. I went right past my hard break.
Oh.
I'm not hard breaking this time. Last week I was a hero. Nobody seemed to appreciate it, but I was a hero. This week we're going to go, and we'll be a little later than normal, and we're going to our traffic pause. Take it away.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. We have one caller online, plenty of room for other people to call in, 410-922-6680. And I've got my special guest here, Ivan Daniel, grandson number 5. What do you think of Anita's music?
Well,
he's a lot like his grandfather, isn't he, Anita? Well, go ahead, tell her what you think. Do you like it? That's Anchors Away.
I think it's
That's Anchors Away. The
pretty cool.
Music. Like, the what do I they call that? The theme song. What do you call that to the Navy? The Navy's Anthem, you know, whatever. Something like that. It's the Navy song.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you where it came from.
Anchors Away, you know?
Sure. I mean, we know the name of it, but... So he thought it was pretty cool.
I thought it was
like...
really good.
Did it jazz you up? He's like, what's that mean, Pop-Pop?
Yeah, I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused. Jazzed up means doesn't make you feel good.
Well, yeah.
Make you want to be a Navy man, right, when you get older, right? All right, well, we're going to ask you a couple questions in a little, but right now we're on an open show. We're going to go to Frank in a second, but we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. And Frank wants to talk about Bitcoins.
Yeah,
Frank.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
Earlier today on the morning show, you referenced Bitcoin. I read a couple articles on it. I understand that it's a digital currency. But my question is, who is the drawee institution on a Bitcoin, and does it clear through the Federal Reserve?
Oh, no. So Bitcoin,
they want to cut the Federal Reserve out of the picture.
Yeah, a Bitcoin is a unique algorithm that somebody created that is an open architecture that you have what are called, what's the word for it? They validators, and they have these miners was what they call them. And so basically when there's a Bitcoin transaction, there's a algorithm that goes around and you have to validate it, and all these miners will validate it. And if for any reason you don't have the right key, then it invalidates and it shows that it's a fraudulent situation and somebody's trying to game the system or something of that sort. So it's a sophisticated system, Frank, but it's totally open architecture. And at this point in time, nobody has been able to break that open architecture algorithm that works to validate each and every Bitcoin to make sure that it is correct. And this is called blockchain software. And now, you know, I'm no software expert, but that's all that validates it, Frank, is these algorithms and the open architecture of these people validating that the key to each transaction of each Bitcoin is absolutely in line, and yes, this is a valid Bitcoin that you own. And then you can break a Bitcoin down into any amount you want to. So if you have one Bitcoin and it's worth $1,000, let's just use that, and I want to buy something for 10 bucks, you know, I guess that's what, 1%? 10 bucks, right? $1,000 Bitcoin. So I can sell 1% of my Bitcoin to somebody else. So,
But there still has to be a drawee institution. For instance,
if
you buy something online and you pay for it with a credit card through an encrypted transaction, you enter your credit card number. It's encrypted, but ultimately that ends up at the credit card company.
But that's the beauty of the Bitcoin, Frank, is that the Bitcoin is merely a virtual currency, and the only thing that validates that you have a legitimate Bitcoin is this algorithm and this blockchain software program that's open architecture, and these miners sitting there validating, yes, that is a valid Bitcoin that you have in your hand. And
will the vendor take it?
And will a vendor take it? And if a vendor takes it, then what happens is they put it through the system, and if that's a valid Bitcoin and he's giving 10% of his one Bitcoin to somebody and they validate it, boom, now that guy owns 10% of that Bitcoin. And he's got a valid account. There is no Federal Reserve. There's no clearing institution. There's no Visa. There's no nothing. That's the uniqueness of it, Frank.
Right, but how does the vendor actually get money?
The vendor gets money by going online, and it's exchanged between each other right there on a Bitcoin. Now, and maybe this is what Frank is asking. There are Bitcoin clearing sites between each other. So, you know, like I think the NASDAQ, was it NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange was thinking of clearing? You know, like you had that one in Japan where it was a trading system. There was an exchange system, and that was called Mt. Gox. And you remember all the people who had their money with Mt. Gox when it went under? had all their bitcoins registered with Mount Gox, went under, you know, and so forth. You know, there's some interesting articles.
One exchange has been accepted in New York.
Yeah. There are some interesting articles. You ought to go out there and read them, because Bitcoin is something that I'm not sure. I don't own any, and I'm not buying any at this point in time, because I'm afraid that there is no government backing it at all. I understand the people who like it that there isn't a government backing. I understand them too. But I've read online a lot of these articles and how they work, and there was one interesting one where showed a guy going to the Isle of Man.
Uh-huh.
And at the Isle of Man, that's where more vendors, yep, more people, more stores accept the Bitcoin. You know, like cab drivers accepted it and a coffee shop accepted it. And this guy goes there and he does his transactions with Bitcoin. So you ought to go on and watch that and see how they do it and so forth. And maybe that'll right. help answer your question, because I can't tell you I'm a Bitcoin expert at this moment in time.
Suppose somebody walks into the financial consulate and says, I want $10,000 worth of consulting services, and they tell you what they want. Let's say you want a full financial physical, and they say, but I want to pay for it in Bitcoin.
I'd have to get a Bitcoin account. I'd have to get a Bitcoin account with something somewhere to be able to do that with them.
And let's say you do that. They pay you in Bitcoin. I mean, you have a bank account for the financial consulate, a corporate account. You probably have several accounts, but you've got a main account. You know, how do you get money from the Bitcoin into your account so you can write checks against
it? Once I get the Bitcoin, I can then sell it to another investor, and there are always markets to sell your Bitcoins to other investors and bring it to dollars. Matter of fact, the Bitcoin went up
double.
200% over the last 2 months, and just today it had a big tumble. I don't know how much it dropped, but they talked about it having a big tumble today. That's one of the problems with Bitcoins, is it goes up a lot and down a lot, and you've got to be prepared for that. But I've got to take my next pause, Frank. It's a great question. Everybody should know about Bitcoins, because it is part of the future. Frank, I appreciate your call. We got to take another hard pause for traffic right now. We'll be right back. Open show, Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. So what'd you think of that song, Ivan?
Well, it was really good.
Yeah. You know what today is?
Veterans Day.
And Anita is playing music for Veterans Day. What do you think? Well, you think of all those men and women that serve our country to keep us free. Huh?
Well, I don't know how exactly to answer that.
Well, I mean, the only way to answer that is we thank them for their service, right? You know, I mean, think of what those armed, you know, military people do that fly those planes and sail those ships and on the ground and keep us away from dangerous people around the world that want to harm us, you know? Right?
Well, I was just thinking of a word to, like...
Like awesome or cool.
Something? No,
no,
not really.
Yeah, you're younger than I am, so he'd say something different, you know? So, you know, what do you think about all the money that parents pay for college? You think it's a good thing? Should a parent pay $60,000 to send somebody to a college?
Well,
would you want to go to a $60,000 college? What do you think?
Not if I had to pay for it.
Well, that's a good answer. No, very good answer.
Talk in his wheelhouse. Talk about allowance, though. You know, there you go.
He said, I don't get an allowance.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
But
yeah,
do you start a business then?
Do you like making money? Do you like doing odd jobs? Do you ever shovel snow for people? Or?
Well, yeah. Like I do at the people across the street, but they don't really give me money for doing it. I just do it because it's nice.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
It's a very good thing.
It has eternal benefits.
Yeah. Right now, we're on an open show here at Money, Riches, and Wealth. Been kind of quiet. Frank is the only one that's called in so far, asked a good question about Bitcoin.
Well, I could probably get things going a little bit if we talk about it. Is it too early? Do you want to wait until next year?
Until the candidates get winnowed down a
little bit?
Sean asks me every time. He says, did you listen to the debate tonight, last night? And I said, I listened to about 5 minutes, Frank, Sean, and then I went to bed.
But I've looked at the plans, though, as they talk about the economic side of their plans. And so,
my problem is, Chris, is that a lot of what they say is just generalized, tidbits, nothing more.
Sure. Well, it's interesting because some have gotten pretty detailed as far as what they're looking to do. Some with tax credits, talking about marginal rates.
I don't remember who it was, Rand Paul, that was laying into Mark Rubio about increasing the child tax credit. I thought, obviously with him, I don't agree with that,
Yeah, and that's the one thing about Rubio that I don't like is that, the only thing, and that's what's happened over the years, is the Republicans have taken the tax issue away from what really worked. The thing that worked was cutting marginal rates. That's what supply side theory is about. Marginal rates. But what he does is the tax credits, and the tax credits are just a giveaway.
Yeah, it's the social engineering with the tax code, and I don't agree with that. I think that we ought to simplify the tax code. You should still have marginal rates. There should still be. You start off at a lower rate. The first umpteen amount of money is tax-free, and then you move on to maybe a 5 or 10% rate, and then you move on to a 15 or so rate, and then you move up to a maximum maybe 20-21%, something of that sort. Makes perfect sense, but get rid of all these, one guy, does this, and that, and he gets all these deductions. Another guy doesn't want to have a mortgage on his house, and, he doesn't get any deductions. It's just ridiculous, the tax code. The whole tax code's ridiculous.
Yeah, but to me, it's instructive when they come out with plans about the type of person they're going to be in their leadership style and whether they're serious or whether they're not. And so as I look at all the different candidates, when I hear Carly Fiorina say I'm going to reduce it to 3 pages, she's very well studied and learned on international stuff. I mean, she's really good. But I want to hear a little more than we're just going to reduce it to 3 pages.
I would agree with that.
From 73,000 pages.
And Ben Carson doesn't give much more than, I just want to fix.
Flat tax.
Well, he doesn't even say that. He said, I was just talking about that, the concept of tithing is a good concept, but he didn't actually come out and say that the flat tax rate should just be 10%. Cruz does, but I don't, I haven't heard Carson specifically.
No.
But he specifically answered a question like that and said that. But, my problem is that, when politicians are talking about things they want to do, I just clutter my mind up with that stuff, Because what I want to know is what are you really have a possibility of passing when you're really down to a, like a few weeks ago when they got rid of the Social Security, file and suspend. Once I heard that was really going to be passed or possibly being passed, I'm serious. I'm taking it. I'm being attentive. I'm listening and I find out, it has been passed. Does it affect any of my clients and so forth? But all this just general rumbling and rambling on of these people saying they're going to do this, it's just a waste of brain power. I only have so much. I can't waste it on, 13 people, pontificating on things that, I'm not even sure they're serious about.
Sure, it's just a hobby of mine.
I mean, look at, but look at George Sr. George Sr., he's sitting there saying, I'm going to never raise taxes. And what was it, 6 months? He raised taxes,
Sure. Was in the history of modern politics, that was one of the most ill-conceived decisions he made to say, read my lips, no new taxes,
Anyway, we're going to Tom in Owings Mills. Tom, how can we help you?
Good evening. I have an elderly mother who lives in Bethesda.
Okay.
And I live in the Towson area.
Okay.
I go down maybe twice a week on average, three times sometimes, to function as a caregiver.
Okay.
She has a formal caregiver from a company that does that three times a week, and I go a couple of the off days, shall we say, and,
yeah,
you know, do what they do, take her to the doctor or help feed her. And so,
so your point,
their expenses, I can deduct for that. So it's a drive, an hour each way. And, you know, then I.
So let me ask you a question, Tom.
Sure.
Do
sure.
you, what kind of income does your mother make? Does she make income?
Well, she has pension from the government where she worked. And so she has, actually, she is married, and her husband is a stepfather of mine. As
They have
about 150, 200
right.
on their.
The answer to your question, return. Unfortunately, Tom, is no. I mean, I honor you for, you know, taking care of your mother, and that's a good thing, but unfortunately, no. There is no tax deduction that I know of. Can you think of any way, Chris? But what I was looking for to see if Mom could have been a dependent on his return, and obviously the answer is no, because she can't make more than, like, $3,000 or $4,000, and she obviously does. So,
yes.
No, unfortunately, you're not able to get a deduction of any sort. Unless they paid you and you wanted to report it as income, which would be kind of silly to report it as income, you know, if they gave you a gift for coming down and helping out, it's tax-free, and I would keep it that way.
Possibly a gift.
I would only, you know, I would only accept a gift from Mom, and not because you're coming down to do that, but just because she loves you.
You're right.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
All right, you take care. You know, I'm almost a minute over, but it's close enough, Anita. Close enough for WCBM work. We're going to traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. And we're thanking all of our veterans tonight with the music that Anita is playing. And
we both thought about joining the military.
We both thought about it, right. So does that help? We only have about 10 minutes left, and lo and behold, everybody called in the last 10 minutes.
Well, you said
so,
you get more time, yeah, and you call early.
But anyway, we got one caller called in and just left a question. Could you talk about aid and attendance with the VA? So aid and attendance is really where if a vet or the widow of a vet, that's an interesting widow or widower of a vet, were to have medical bills greater than their income, they can get, a vet can get about $1,800 a month, and the widow or widower of a vet can get about $1,100 a month. Now, your medical bills have to be greater than your income, and you also have to have an asset limit. Now, that asset limit is a lot easier to get to because the VA doesn't acknowledge transfers of money away from you. And also there's all kinds of annuities and things that people use to get qualified for aid and attendance. One of the problems with the VA aid and attendance is that lawyers are not allowed to charge to help people get qualified for aid and attendance. And so you've got to find people who are willing to do it as a value add, or, and there's a lot of insurance agents that use the aid and attendance to use to sell people annuities and things like that, and give them some advice. So it's out there, and it's a very good thing. And every vet and every surviving spouse of a vet, when their medical bills are going up, should be familiar with this and should take advantage of it. And there are a few attorneys that do elder care planning, but they also do VA benefits as an add-on value-add service and don't charge for it. At least that's what they, you know, somehow or another, I'm sure they figure out a way to make money on it. Anyway, we're going to Bill and Glen Burnie. Bill, how can we help you?
Yes. My wife is 77 and I'm 88.
Okay.
Now, we both draw Social Security.
Okay.
CC on her own and my own, on my own.
Okay.
Now, if I die, how would that work?
The higher of the two Social Securities is the one that will survive. So who gets the higher amount, you or her?
Me.
So then she will get your Social Security. It'll be recalculated to some degree, but she'll still get the higher of the two benefits.
Oh, I see.
So hers will disappear, and yours will continue on for her for the rest of her life.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay, well, that's good information. I appreciate it.
All right, sir. You take care. Sherry in Linthicum, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. I listen to you all the time. I called last week about the Ricky Trust. Thanks for mentioning it again. I won't do it. And I'll come see what you can do for me. But I'll urge you, your 10-year-old grandson or your 8-year-old grandson, Ivan, when he's 10, he could rent my condo in Fort Myers and take up golf. That would probably be better
Fort
than snorkeling.
Fort Myers. That's in Florida. Yeah.
Yeah. And
you're stacking the deck there. Drew, yeah, Drew will certainly go towards golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ivan's a golfer, too.
He's a golfer. He can get even better at my condo.
There you
but
go.
Anyway, the reason I am calling is I have maybe about $100,000 in savings, and I was wondering, should I invest it in a second condo as opposed to leaving it? I mean, it's untouched. It's something that's
investing
there.
It in a condo is strictly if you want to be a landlord and you think you can find a good one at a good price, which you think you can rent and hold its value and rise in value. And I mean, those are the kinds of things you have to calculate. It's there's no magic formula to investing. It's coming up with a logical strategy and willing to do what it takes to execute that strategy. And being a landlord has its incredible benefits, but it also has a lot of work involved with it. And sounds like you already do that.
No, I use it for pleasure and for friends and family when it becomes, you know, to my benefit. But the other thing is that I'm worried about all of this money in savings, and if something should happen, that I could perhaps lose it all.
What's going to happen that you're going to lose it all?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe some.
I think
Ted Cruz talked about.
Oh, don't listen to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Ted Cruz is telling people, you know, the world's coming to an end, you know, and the Federal Reserve this and the government debt and all this kind of stuff. And you know, there are some concerns, but if they're within 15 years right now, I'd be surprised. In other words, if you look at the countries that are in the worst economic shape, being Russia or Argentina, it's going to take a long time.
Or Greece.
But Greece is a unique situation, Sherry. They don't control their own currency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem with Greece. Greece does not control their currency. If they controlled the drachma still, you wouldn't even know Greece had a problem today.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, United States still controls its own currency. Listen, Maggie Thatcher said this when the Eurozone was being created. She says, I will never join the Eurozone because if I do, we will give up the sovereignty of England. And she was right. And Greece has found out that that is true.
Sure. The hard way.
So don't listen to that kind of stuff. Make logical decisions.
So keeping that amount of money just sitting in it.
Well, you should invest it. Invest it in something. Invest it logically.
Well, that's why I said real estate. And it won't be a big return in the beginning, but.
Real estate can have, but being a landlord is some work. So be mindful of that. All right?
All right. So yeah, thank you very much.
Ivan, tell Sherry thank you for offering your condo. What do you think?
In exchange for your grandfather's services, Ivan, okay?
It's in Florida.
So it's in Florida.
Yeah,
it's on a golf course, too,
yeah.
Man. What do you think?
Well, I think it's really nice of you for offering that, and I'd really like to go golfing on it.
All right.
I wish my boys started at your age.
All right, Sherry, you take care. We're going to try to hit Bruce and Glen Burnie. Bruce, how can we help you?
Hi. Thank you, Drew. My 92-year-old mom is a resident of New York State, been living there her whole life, and she just came to Baltimore. She hasn't officially
changed residence. She's been with us for about 3 months, and she may decide to stay here with us. She may not, but it looks like she'll be with us for, you know, a while. So,
how much is she worth approximately? $5,000, $500,000, $5
million? I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe a million or so.
Okay, go on. Ask your question.
Does it ever make sense to change residency from New York to Maryland?
It's probably going to make a lot of sense because if I'm not sure. Did New York change their state exemption? But they were only at a million. So if she doesn't and they stayed at a million, whereas Maryland is now at a million and a half going to 2 million next year, which is only a month and a half away. So I would definitely get her to change residency, not to mention that New York is even more expensive tax-wise than Maryland. Can you imagine?
There aren't many, but that's one of them.
I can't imagine that.
Can't imagine. If she's New York City, it's even worse. So, yeah, I would probably get her to change if she's going to be here permanently. All right?
All righty. Thanks
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Well,
now,
we're done.
I've got the most important question right now.
Go ahead.
So, Ivan, when you play golf, do you play right-handed or left-handed?
Well, I use my right hand.
Okay. You're right-handed.
Yeah, he's right-handed. And what's your favorite game that you play online?
Well,
you're really good, too.
Well, most of the time it's probably, if you're talking about, like,
you know, like Roblox and things like that. What's your favorite game? We only got about 10 seconds. The pressure's
on. Call of Roblox, CF5, Roblox at War the most.
And you know, gamers can make lots of money nowadays. They're gamers that make millions of dollars playing games.
Like YouTubers and stuff?
Yeah, those kind of things.
And his
mother
is saying, okay, on this one, maybe not. Maybe it's the other way. Maybe be a doctor or something.
Ivan, we've got to run. We're finished with the show already. Thank you for being with us.
All right.
Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli thing. God bless.